We have a lot of videos of the podcast and various other tutorials on YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel at mixingmusicpodcast.com/YouTube. Happy mixing and enjoy the show.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Check out the Mixing Music Podcast on Amazon Music. Just visit amazon.com/mixingmusic. Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I am your host, DK, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Leviathan Lou. Well, Lou, I asked Lou what nickname he wanted. That was the name that he thought of. And I was like, what the heck is Leviathan? We looked it up. It's a mythical serpent-like monster. So
yeah.
It's pretty badass. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah. That's a pretty badass nickname.
Honestly, I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. Let's keep it.
Yeah.
This is a good episode. We'll go right into it. It's about automation. And the importance of automation. I think we've talked a little bit about automation in the past, but we want to dedicate another episode to it and the importance of it. I want to start off with this concept. If you are a producer, or if you mix, obviously, you're gonna recognize production and arrangements, regardless of whether you're a mixer or a producer, right? Yeah. Songwriter. Have you heard of the concept ear candy?
Yeah.
I'm saying this for the audience,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Ear candy is like those moments where it's just like, ooh, that was nice. And it can even often become moments where it's like, ooh, that little like the let's say the rain stick or whatever it is, that little hook that happened right there with the
it's
with
just
the guitar.
Added to the experience.
Oh yeah, that thing that only happened once or twice in the entire song.
Yeah.
Right? That like kind of made the song for me. Like there's songs that do that.
Yeah.
And we call it ear candy. Money moments along those lines, right? And this ear candy is incredibly important for producers, and oftentimes that's some of the biggest feedback for producers. Like we want more ear candy, and there's some producers out there that are absolutely amazing at ear candy. And I want to be clear, and don't worry, this has something to do with automation. The reason why I bring this up is because I was talking to one of my students about the importance of automation.
Okay.
And he specifically brought up automating like effects, reverbs, and delays and stuff. And I explained it like this. Just like ear candy is only ear candy when it is placed thoughtfully, like, and sporadically.
Yeah.
Same too with reverbs and delays.
Yeah.
If you put in a blanket reverb or a blanket delay, it is so boring and the production, the mix feels cheap.
Yeah.
Same thing with volume automation and levels and other things as well. I'm not saying that you have to automate every single Q factor and gain of each point on the EQ. You know, that's not necessarily necessary. That's not necessary. But especially with effects and sends, let's start with that. Automating it and making sure that it changes from section to section, that it's emphasized in some parts of the song than others, is what keeps the effects, reverbs, and delays interesting. So if you've had a trouble getting interesting effects, reverbs, and delays on your vocals or on your instrumentation, automate them. Turn them on and off. Make it more and less in different section. Yep. Great example of this is Boyfriend by Selena Gomez, mixed by Tony Maserati. In the first verse alone, I've been up all night, big reverb, pretty restlessly, and then dry. And like he'll like play with it in a single verse. He'll mess with the reverb throws and delay throws. And it keeps that verse so interesting. Just listen to the first verse of Boyfriend by Selena Gomez. I think that's a great example of how mixing can really change the vibe and feel and get you to appreciate the space or lack of space when you play with it. Lou, let's dive deeper into that, Lou. Tell us how you like to automate your effects.
So one of my favorite things to automate, which people have kind of told me like, oh, you could actually just, you know, cut and edit that. I'm like, yeah, you can, but this is a little bit easier with automation, depending how much you want to be changing this. Auto-tune.
Ooh.
Yeah. Main reason is that there's a lot of functions in auto-tune. Like I'm especially going over this, like, because like currently right now, before we linked up, you know, you saw I was recording like an auto-tune video. So it's kind of funny because I was talking about the vibrato section of it. And this is kind of one of the things that I learned by listening to one of Tizio's mixes, or at least I believe it was Tizio, but it's Who's Gonna by Chris Brown, which is just, you know, a modern version of the original record. Let's just be honest. Like it's a dope record, but we know what he was trying to do. But there's this one sustained note where like you hear him sing it and then the vibrato almost inhumanely triggers.
Same with Poland.
Yeah.
Poland with what's his face? I took the walk to Poland.
But it's really cool because it's one of those things that like, yeah, you can make cuts and edits, but let's say that you actually wanted to control how much of it and when it onsets and everything, you can actually automate all the controls in even something as simple as auto-tune.
Lil Yachty, that's who that was.
Lil Yachty, boom. I'll be honest. That's probably the one record I know. That's probably like the one record I know.
But anyway, that's good use of synthetic
Like vibrato. Yeah, because I know some people use what is it, Tremolator? I know Nels uses that on Shadows, I believe the record was.
Yeah.
And it's kind of dope because it's like
Tremolo versus vibrato. Vibrato is modulation on pitch, and tremolo is modulation dynamics.
So it's really cool because like if you learn to actually even play with these things, you can also change the performance of the vocal, not just the tone of it or anything. Like you can always automate like saturation. You want the guitars to get a little more distorted during the chorus or something, but you actually like where the saturation's sitting, you're not trying to make too many edits, you could just up it for the chorus and you're done. But like auto-tune is one of those things I don't always see automated. But I started seeing people like Baines and Tizio doing it more after that record, where I started pinpointing by listening, like, yo, I noticed that there's a lot more autotune on these three lines, and then on these lines, there's a lot less. And it's intentional.
I've done that a few times for, like, artists where they sing the chorus, and they, like, rap the verse, like, less singy. But I've done a couple things. I've automated it in the past when they recorded it on one track, or they only sent me one track. They comped it and sent me one track. I've also just duplicated it, or they've had a separate track for the verse vocal. So I just did two different instances of autotune. I've done that too.
Yeah.
But automate, like, especially with like autotune effects, where it's like there's a bunch of cool things that you can automate and whatnot. Yeah. Definitely moments automating different things.
You can automate presets.
I've automated EQ before. I was talking about how you don't have to do that. But like, for example, we want more of that filtered effect in the chorus. I've even gone as far as like there's a really big 1.2k resonance in the voice only when they go into the upper register of their voice during the chorus.
Yeah.
And it's really annoying. And so like I either and this is where like sometimes you can just automate them, creating automation, or just like duplicating the track and just having a different instance of EQ.
Yeah.
For just the chorus again. And for something like that where I have a bunch of plugins, not just the EQ, I'll probably automate it rather than duplicate all of the plugins and just change the EQ one again.
Yeah.
You know, but that's just a workflow thing and trying to use less CPU as well. But what other effects?
Okay, so one of the fun ones is doing ping pong delays.
Ooh.
Yeah. So have you ever like heard a song where
ping pongs.
Exactly. But have you ever heard, like, on certain delays where they just start fading to one side or the other, but you actually want to control where it's going? There's stuff like Pan Man or Auto Pan from Avid, and I'm sure every DAW has their own stock Auto Pan kind of feature. But I've actually always enjoyed if somebody says, like, move to the left, throw a delay to the left, move to the right, throw the delay to the right. You don't want to create separate bus groups and pan them. No, it's just easier to just automate things. So you move with the lyrics and how those delays play with it.
This reminds me of not a flaw, but I wonder if they had this in the update. I feel like I saw this in an update recently. But one of the things with Pro Tools about panning stereo tracks is that you have to automate the left and right pans
independently. It's so annoying.
So what I do is I just put like an S1 imager from like Waves, and then I just like automate that. Yeah. So it's like automating a single plugin or a single knob rather than everything. Whereas like Logic and Studio One, it's just a single slider. For stereo and mono tracks. I think that's super actually nice with panning. That's super interesting. There's many things that you can automate.
Yeah. Like, I'll automate Saturn. You know that, I guess...
FabFilter Saturn, which is a saturation plugin.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm trying to remember what I called the video.
I don't like have Saturn trick. Yet.
Really?
I've for all these years that I've been mixing, I have not bought Saturn yet.
I got you. But...
I've never used it.
It's really funny because, like... So with Saturn, if you take the saturation and reverse it, it actually does this thing where like some of the tones that like the room tone, you can actually start sucking it out of the audio source. So I uploaded a video where
I saw that.
A clap has a ton of reverb behind and you're like, I just want the sample to be dry. I took the saturation and fully reversed it and it came out completely dry.
You can
dry.
Reverse saturation?
Yeah, with Saturn. It's insanely cool.
Whoa,
it's not necessarily reversing saturation, but rather changing how it feeds into the saturation.
That's interesting. I've seen that video. Where's that video? Is that on your
YouTube?
It's
on YouTube, yeah.
What is that? Is that
Mastered by Lou.
Just type in on YouTube, Mastered by Lou. You can find his videos.
Saturn 2 trick. Yeah. Cool. But like the cool thing about automating that one is let's say that you get vocals from somebody and it's like, oh, I got to take a little bit of the room, but I also want to saturate their vocals, this and that. I kind of use automation to kind of take out some of the room and change how the saturation hits them in between lines. Because they might have like yelled something in the room, came out a little bit louder. And I don't want it to oversaturate, so I can actually back off the saturation for that movement using the input filter. And it actually deadens the room a little bit and softens the attack into the saturation.
Mm.
So, like, using automation in a creative way of trying to do two birds in one stone.
Interesting. That's actually a really good idea. I've definitely automated, like, gates and different things.
Yeah.
Triggers as well. So like we have reverbs and delays. One of my favorite tricks, take this as you will. I love to do an alter. So in my delay send, I'll do like a little alter boy.
Okay.
And I'll pitch it down an octave or up an octave and do a little bit of the format shifting as well. I'll do ping pong delay and then I'll put a little bit of my Valhalla preset reverb for my ad libs, just a little bit of it. So it's like, for example, if there was a delay on this, like to Poland, go left and right. I think that's like a signature DK mix move. I love doing that.
Where it's actually like, okay, cool. Like the separation isn't necessarily the fact that there's like a delay, but the delay also occupies a different range. So it stands out a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the point of automation, regardless of whether you do a send and you change the value or the amount that's sent, or whether you duplicate the track and you drag and drop different parts of whatever track you're modifying for just the section. The point is that some things should be changing. The mix should be constantly changing. It should stay interesting. And I would say that you can keep a song interesting, like, just as much as arrangement is important, songwriting is important, lyrics is important, melody choice is important for keeping a song industry. I can also argue that you can make a song uninteresting by having a boring-ass mix.
Yep.
And you can make a mix sound expensive and interesting, at least maintain that level of interesting that it's supposed to be, if you spend time automating.
Yeah.
Both in levels. And let's talk about automating levels now.
Yeah. Honestly, something that everybody needs to level out is their delay. It's cool to have it constantly going.
I'm saying that if you don't... To be fair, that's like the biggest cheap things for me. Like if you have a blanket delay that never moves.
Yeah.
I think it sounds so cheap where you can hear the delay while, like, for example, the rapper is still going. And then, yeah, it delays the end of the phrase like you like it to. But it's also delaying while they're going. I think it sounds so cheap.
Yeah, the funny thing is some people like it as a vibe. And I get it at that point. Like, all right, cool. That's what you want? No worries. I'm going to automate it down outside for the words that we want to emphasize. That way the delay hits a little bit harder in those moments, but you still have that big wash of delay sound. Like I know when I'm recording with Keisha, like she likes a lot more reverb and delay than I typically like to record with other artists, but that's part of her vibe. And so if I play it back for her drier, it doesn't sound as good. So what I've done is I actually have a sidechain filter that goes into the actual delay. There's a compressor after it. And then that will actually compress the signal as she's going. But when it lets go, it actually brings the signal back up a little bit. It's no longer compressed. So it kind of auto does the automation. So like while I'm recording, I don't have to worry about like automating the sections after.
I used to do that heavily. Yeah. Comeback Kid by Baby Audio has the auto ducker.
Yeah.
It's all right, but... yeah, I think that's better than nothing.
I really like the relayer. Relayer I found out through Bob. It's from the same people that make the Hawk synth. What is it called? I forget their name. But UVI. But basically, Relayer actually has like an advanced section page where you can actually control all the parameters and how it's affected. And one of them is a ducker where you can set the threshold, the sidechain input, and how much specifically you want to actually limit the ducker to do and everything, how fast you want
to respond.
You
can make the third delay louder than the first delay.
Exactly. You can make delays go left and then the eighth one go right for some reason.
Yeah, like, I've seen that one before.
It's such a powerful plugin, but it allows you to somewhat automate internally, but it's still not going to be a perfect fix because it's an auto fix.
Another thing as well. So going back to the idea of automating levels, I want to talk about this. And this is something that I was teaching in my private lesson that kind of helped me figure out exactly how to kind of articulate this.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with automation, like I'm sure that it's similar for you.
Mm-hmm.
How and when you put in automation is 100 should be an emotional decision.
Yeah.
You should listen to the song and like put it in where it feels like it should go.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. Like, for example, I don't turn up the volume of the bass during the choruses, automate the volume to go louder during the choruses because that's what someone told me.
Mm-hmm.
I do that because I know I want in this mix, what I'm hearing when I play back the song is the chorus should have like a little bit more energy and punch than the verse.
Yeah.
Okay. What's one way that I can do that? Adding a little bit more low end. That'll translate into a little bit more energy during the chorus. What is one way of doing that? Oh yeah, automating the level of the bass. See how I'm not immediately jumping to step three?
Mm-hmm.
When I feel like people do this too often, they're like forgetting about the emotional context of the purpose for these techniques, which is what you shouldn't be doing. And the secret to all of this, like the reason why some people think like all of the Mix with the Masters videos are like laughable is because there's no secret. There's very, very, other than Andrew Sheps, there's very, very few engineers that are doing extremely complicated, groundbreaking techniques.
Yeah.
It's not that. They're doing, and I, in this, as a listener right now, you are probably focusing more on groundbreaking, creative uses of these plugins than anybody winning Grammys right now.
That could be applied to anything. Like literally yesterday, I was asking Henry, he showed us a new workout type for leg day, right? And it was really cool, but I started asking him like, hey, am I supposed to focus a lot on this and do this? He's like, I don't understand what the question is. I'm like, okay. And I tried rephrasing the question, but he's like, dude, I really think you're overthinking it. I really think you're overthinking it because from me watching you, you did it right.
Okay,
you did it right. You just overthought it.
All right. There's like life cycles of different things. For example, okay, in theology, this is interesting. Buddhism has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Judaism has been around for a long time. Christianity has been around for a long time. Again, all three of them, thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
Islam has been around for thousands of years. There's been a lot of time for them to be refined, their doctrines to change, to be refined and change to fit the needs of people throughout time.
Yeah.
Something that's like a religion that was made 50 years ago is going to mess up a lot.
Yeah.
And it has to go through a level of refinement for it to have more. Anyway, that's a bad example. I could have said this with
anything
else.
No, but it still makes
sense. But the sport of basketball, right? How it's evolved, there's been enough time for it to be refined. The three-point line was added. The backboard was added.
Yeah.
And the rules have been added, much time for it to be refined. And now we're kind of going into the small little details. There's not much to refine, big things to refine. It's very small details. I think that we've been in the musical. The point is, I think that we've been in the digital era of music long enough that most of those technical skills has already been refined.
Yeah.
There's not going to be that many groundbreaking, crazy uses and new plugins that's going to totally change the game. And that's the secret of what makes Serban Ganea's mixes so good. It's not that.
Yeah.
Like, it's been too refined and there's too many people. And all of the tools that we use are so accessible that, like, at the end of the day, LeBron is great because he's huge. You know, like it's not because technology. Well, I mean, we can argue that, but
his shoes gave him an extra bonus.
Yeah, like whatever. And it's so I think that's kind of where we're at. Is people think that there's this groundbreaking thing? It's not.
Yeah.
We've kind of gone through that refinement life cycle of digital audio. And the loudness wars has been around forever. And although it's not going away, we've refined loudness and what that means and what we're not willing to sacrifice and what we are willing to sacrifice for loudness.
How many times has the scale for loudness changed in the last 20 years?
Oh, like not that much, but the sounds of how, like, what it, like the same metered loudness, but the sounds of the tones that are emphasized to make things, very. So it's, And they're going to continue to evolve, but they're going to be changing based on like cultural preferences rather than like technological advancements.
Yeah.
Which unless there's a huge spike of people, like there's more people doing music now than ever before, meaning that right now we have the most tools that we have. Sorry, I'm getting into a really weird random thought, but the point is automation is the secret to many big mix engineers and no matter what groundbreaking techniques there are, you have to think emotionally.
Yep.
So like when you're automating the volume, again, just like you're lifting up, raising the volume of the bass in the chorus or raising the volume of the drums in the chorus or compressing, automated the compression. So you're compressing more of the drums and turning up the makeup game maybe during the chorus because you want it to be like more smacking, whatever it is, it should come from an emotional decision.
What's cool is like, I remember there's a song by Linkin Park called Given Up. Really, really good. Honestly, you should probably run to it. It's that kind of like, it has a driving like clap to it. Like it's
gotta
really
be the right BPM. Oh yeah. Referring to, as I've been running every day recently, I have a 170 beats per minute playlist where I like match the tempo of the beats to my strides.
Yeah.
And I have a damn good playlist.
But this song actually has this one thing that I was noticing because I lift to it all the time because like it really keeps the pace going. But I was listening to it and didn't notice this until recently where at the chorus, the entry of it, the lyric is I've given up. And on the word up, it's like 1 decibel, maybe 2 at most decibels louder. And then you immediately hear that the rest of the vocals in the chorus are a little bit quieter. But then when he gets to that same lyric on the turnaround of the chorus, it goes back and automates back up. And then you notice that the snare actually hits a little bit harder for the second half of the chorus. And all of this keeps that driving energy. And then when the chorus goes out, everything goes down. You start noticing that they added a little more distortion to the bass to where they took the clap out for the beginning half of the second verse. But now the bass took the place of that clap with the distorting slapping of the strings. And it's really cool because it's one of those things where automation made the emotional difference in the record to where it's like, it really keeps me wanting to keep moving versus just being a static mix.
I agree. Big time. This is a great time to talk about our sponsors before we continue. One,
cool.
Exclusive episodes of the podcast. If you like this podcast and you want more and more technical tips, you can't get enough. Go to mixthemusicpodcast.com/exclusive, where you can unlock three times the amount of episodes every single week for $4 a month or $40 a year. And they're all technical episodes. And it's really, really great. Thank you for anybody that's currently subscribed. Also, if you'd like to hire me for mixing, Lou for mastering, or if you'd like to, you can DM us at DK Mixes, at Mastered by Lou. If you mention that you listen to the podcast, I'm sure we're more than happy to give discounts. Also, Lou and I have talked about if you want me to mix it and Lou to master the mix that I mix, then we will collaborate and make it the same price. So you get both of us for the same price as if you had done it everything with me or done everything with Lou.
Yep.
So that's a good discount there. And then also, if you are looking to book studio time in LA, you can go to inthemixstudios.com. In the Mix Studios is a commercial facility that Lou and I co-own together. It's an awesome facility. We got one room that's open right now available for booking, as the B room is booked locked out for
literally a year.
The rest of the year, yeah. The rest of the year plus the next few months after that. But we're looking forward to meeting all of y'all and working with y'all in different capacities. If you just want to hang out, again, just DM us. So on that note, let's finish up this talk about automation. I talked about automating compression. Mm-hmm. I've done that a couple times. We talked about reverbs, effects, delays, volumes. Mm-hmm. I always bring up like dry as an effect in contrast. That's another thing that I want to bring up is part of the reasons why automation sounds so good and can bring so much interest to a song is because of the amount of contrast you can make.
Yep.
Whether it's contrast in space, in width. I've automated imagers. So yep. It's like in widths where it's like I mono out the guitar during the verse and I spread it during the
chorus.
During the chorus, things like that. Again, the purpose being we want more energy, less, we want to dial back and keep it controlled during the verse. We want more energy and width during the chorus. Being able to articulate that then turns into automating the tool. Mm-hmm. What other things have you found yourself automating?
I do a lot of master bus automation.
Really?
Yeah, I do a lot of it because consider it this way. If I'm mixing it, then great. I can do a lot of like the macro moves in the mix. But if I'm mastering a record, then I only have the master bus to deal with, right? But sometimes I'll actually automate in the way it actually goes into processing or post-processing. So pre-processing, if I want it to like hit a little bit differently or if I don't want it to hit as much during a section. So for instance, maybe I want like the bridge to be a little bit more dynamic because it's supposed to be a little bit louder as it increases, but I also don't want it to actually, let's say, squash the mix. I'll actually drop the processing into it, but I'll up the output.
Oh, I think that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So that way it's like, okay, cool. That way when it actually hits the chorus, I'll actually reverse it. I'll bring it back to normal, but I'll up the processing again so it hits the limiter a little bit differently.
Mm.
And that way maybe it like squashes the dynamics a little bit. Maybe it gets the snare to poke out a little bit differently. But using that automation to like be like, okay, pre-processing automation and post-processing automation allows me to find like this sweet spot for different sections. Because let's say that you were sent a mix to master and it's very quiet in the verse, then it gets louder in the bridge, then really loud in the chorus. Well, that means that processing is also hitting those different sections very, very differently. And you probably won't get the ideal loudness that you're after either. So you have to find this sweet spot of like, okay, it's not that I necessarily want it to be slamming the limiter during the verse if it's a quiet verse, but I do want it to be a little bit louder. So you start finding ways to automate without the ear really necessarily picking up that you cause that automation to make it change in volume.
Ooh, yeah. I feel like with mastering, while mastering, the thing that I automate the most, if I automate anything, is the clip gain.
Yeah.
Which I think is the last thing I want to talk about is I automate, you've seen me, I don't know if you actually have, you've seen me enough. The first thing that I typically automate while I'm mixing the tracks down is usually clip gain. Because I like the way, for example, like with vocals as well, specifically with vocals, mm-hmm. some notes just need to be compressed more or needs to be compressed less. I'll automate the clip gain.
Mm-hmm.
And which changes how it goes into the insert.
I'll do it. It'll for push. S's.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. That's something that I've heard people do.
Yeah.
But automating the clip gain, I think, is like incredibly useful. And one of the ways that I, instead of like automating the compressor on specific words, I'll automate the clip gain. So it pushes harder into the compression or like sections as well.
Yeah.
I just like that sound, the tonality, how it reacts. And that's something similar, except in a different concept.
Yeah.
I've done that with like where the bridge for some reason just sexually is way more dynamic and quieter.
Yeah.
Then I'll like clip gain the entire bridge in the mastering session instead of just like relying on a slow compressor to kind of flatten it out the entire song. I'll like lift it up just enough. Cause sometimes if I do that, then what it'll do is bring up the vocals too loud. So then you can really hear the compressor or like
with
the
that,
difference in section.
I'll automate ozone.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Mastery Balance is dope.
Yeah, it really is.
Mastery Balance has saved my ass so many
times. I still need to try the new one. I haven't downloaded the copy that we got. Only because I was like
10?
Yeah.
It's great.
I still haven't downloaded it only because I was in the middle of like a bunch of different projects. So I didn't want, not that it's a risk, but I didn't want to unintentionally change anything before turning in the finals.
There you
after
go.
We just agreed to everything.
MixedMusicPodcast.com/iZotope. I don't know if we're doing any deals right now, but there used to be big discounts if you go to that link.
I believe it's still the trial extension.
Cool. At least the trial extension there. So iZotope.com/mmpod or just mixingmusicpodcast.com/iZotope, which takes you to the same location.
Yep.
That link is still live. If you want good deals, that's probably the best place to go. Ozone 10 is amazing. RX 10 is amazing. They've added a few different, they've added like a Gullfoss competitor.
Really?
An Ozone 10. They've also added like transient shaper for Ozone. It's really like, it's like low end focus, but like for the entire frequency spectrum.
Can you divide it up like the rest of them?
Just check it out. Okay. Just check it out. You could, like you can divide it the
for
same
those
way.
Those that aren't watching, I was biting my lip waiting for the answer.
Yeah. So it's a good thing. Otherwise, if you're a fan of the podcast and you want to support us in a way that costs no money to you, please consider leaving a 5-star rating on Spotify, a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with just a couple words. Those few words do go a long way as for the algorithm. And
even
right now,
just
I think
Leviathan Lou.
And listen to us on Amazon. Amazon is our current partner right now. Amazon Music does podcasts, and we're running ads on Amazon Podcasts, Amazon Music. Really great platform as well. So something to consider. All right. On that note, go automate your tracks. Keep your music interesting. Happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy. Check out the Mixing Music Podcast on Amazon Music. Just visit amazon.com/mixingmusic. Hey, what up? It's DK. Thank you so much for listening to the Mixing Music Podcast. I just want to do a quick plug. Did you know that I write kids' books? If you have children, nieces, nephews, I have books that are totally available for free or $10 on Amazon for physical copies. You can go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/kidsbooks to get access and learn more about that. Thank you for all of your support. Now let's get back to the show.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.